Welcome back to the program. I'm Derek Hunter. This is the appropriately, conveniently, just a weird quirk coincidence. It was called the Derek Hunter Show when they hired me. The John Jones guy they had before me just never really synced, but when I got there, the magic happened. We're live at National Harbor from CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, and joining me now is the author of the new book, the big bestseller, Clinton Incorporated, The Audacious Rebuilding of a Political Machine. His name is Daniel Halper. He's with the Weekly Standard. How are you doing, Daniel?
Excellent, Derek. I know we've been talking off air about how surprised you are that the Clintons are once again in the news.
Yeah, ethics violation. I don't go right to Clintons. God. You look at the ethics violation. You wrote your book before, I mean, we knew, but before we knew for sure, before it was confirmed, that it was the Clinton Global Initiative at first, and now it's the Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Clinton Foundation?
It's actually a little more complicated. The foundation has been around basically since President Clinton left the White House. The Clinton Global Initiative was started in 2008, and it's really just a convening a conference, kind of like CPAC, where you get nonprofit leaders and corporate leaders, and you get them together, and they give you money to each other and try to help out each other. Now, if you're the convener,
and you take a taste.
Right, and if you're the convener of an organization like that, it puts you in a very good position to, fundraise for later.
You've got the checkbook out, Bill Gates.
Exactly.
How about you,
exactly.
You pony up? And they've raised, for the foundation, some in the neighborhood of $10 billion, or is it $2 billion?
The Washington Post estimates it to be about $2 billion. It's a little hard because, well, they don't really disclose everything.
Right.
So a lot of this new reporting is based off of their voluntary disclosures, which is great, I guess.
Right.
But actually, they're under no legal obligation to disclose a lot of it.
It's like Ted Bundy saying, here are three bodies.
Yeah, so I wonder what's not being disclosed.
Right.
And I bet it'd be really interesting to actually get inside the books there and actually see what's happening, which, of course, they're terrified to let anybody
do. I suspect there's one of the best, most expensive accounting firms on the planet crawling through those books and finding out where the money is, where the money came from, and making sure then the James Carvilles of the world, their kids, are going, how are we going to spin this and deal with this? But when you looked into the Clinton machine, was there anything, I mean, we've all been aware of the Clinton machine and how they are and how they operate in the shadows, dance on the line, over the line. What surprised you the most about what you found? Knowing that you were difficult to surprise.
Well, the depth of it, I think, is a little surprising, and the complexity of it. I mean, a lot of people assume, because news sometimes comes out about their unethical dealings, that it's just very apparent. But, of course, they helped write these laws. Bill Clinton helped sign some of them into law.
Mm.
They understand it better than anybody else, and so it becomes sort of more complicated, the tax, you know, loopholes that they're taking advantage of.
If you write
such
the rules, you're going to win most of those games because
right.
You'll know exactly how to play.
And there's something else that hasn't been discussed in the media, but I think eventually, hopefully, a Republican presidential candidate will demand of them is where have they received all their money from? What are all their sources of income for the last 6 years since Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State? Because there's a lot of consulting fees which don't get into there's a lot of consulting fees of which we have no knowledge of because they're not being, used in this tax loophole.
If they're not given to the charity, you know, they're getting personal paychecks. They haven't released their personal tax information, have they?
Not yet. Since leaving, as Secretary of State, you have to disclose some stuff, but it's a little shaky as to who his clients are. I mean, I talk about one of the consulting firms that he worked for, that he had a contract with, Chelsea Clinton, basically demanded equity from this consulting company when it was being founded, because it was being founded by AIDS.
Chelsea Clinton?
Yes.
She's never done anything.
Well, she...
except for...
That's never stopped her from right. being entitled.
God. And so of course, if you want a Clinton name on your letterhead, you got to give Chelsea
right.
piece of the action.
And it helps. It helps with access to the Clintons. Hillary was in Silicon Valley a couple days ago. One of the people that she met with was Barry Diller, the boss of Chelsea Clinton. Chelsea is on his board, IAC Interactive, one of these big media conglomerates. And why do you think she's on the board? Because she
has qualifications, her years of work?
It's access. Access is the defining term, I think, for the Clintons.
So they've really monetized to the point of maybe the GDP of a small Caribbean country their last name, their existence.
Correct. Now, some people like to psychologize about it and say, well, Bill Clinton, he was raised poor. He's always been poor. He's so desperate for money. And there maybe is some truth to that. But we don't know what their motivations are, but we do clearly know some of their actions, and it all points to some sort of greed or some sort of money grubbing. Absolutely.
Very, very frightening stuff. My guest is Daniel Halper. The book, Clinton Incorporated, The Audacious Rebuilding of a Political Machine. Now, the Clinton machine in the 90s and the Obama machine starting in 2008, very different. Clinton, neither one of them had coattails. In fact, they sort of left their party in shambles behind them. But very different machines, very different outlooks on life. Clinton was, he would triangulate. He would look, he put his finger in the air and go, okay, I want this. I'll take a little bit of that and give the other people what they want just to be liked, and that'll give me more capital to use to get what I want more. The president of the United States, current president of the United States, has no interest in that. The one line he won't cross is the one that would cause him to shake the hand of a member of Congress who's a Republican. Where does Hillary fall on that? She doesn't have the political skills of either of them, but she seems to have more of the ideology of President Obama.
So there's a big debate since Hillary has come in with how ideological she is. My basic conclusion is that she's not all that ideological, that she sort of sees where the wind goes and sort of triangulates in a way similar to her husband. Her husband understands how humans work, and if that you're nice to them, then you can win over Republicans no matter how much they hate you. Newt Gingrich talks to Bill Clinton every once in a while, and he's a lot softer on Bill Clinton, consequently, than he was certainly when he was Speaker of the House. Obama doesn't get that, and he doesn't care even if he does get it, clearly, by his actions. I think Hillary, again, in this her latest speech, her first entrance into American politics in 2015, though it was a paid address, she did suggest that she wants to work together and she wants to bring people together.
Nobody is ever going to run for president but saying, I really want to just cram my will down on the American people. I will not work with anybody.
That's, I don't know, Ted Cruz. I mean, there are people who are ideological. I don't think she's quite like that. I think
that chair has a better chance of being nominated than Ted Cruz does. I think he'll impact the debate, which I think is where he becomes useful. But he's not going to win. Hillary Clinton is more than likely, unless she doesn't want to, or she knows something that's in the financial disclosure forms that they simply can't spin their way out of, is going to be the Democratic nominee.
Absolutely.
And that gives her, I'd say, a 52%, a little bit better than half chance of becoming the next president of the United States. So you don't think that, I mean...
I just think she understands humans. She's learned more from her husband than she has from Obama. She respects her husband and his political skills far more than President Obama's. And if she's going to emulate either one, I think it will be closer to her husband's than President Obama's.
Can she overcome her... unfavorable. She speaks to a large crowd like she's talking to a kindergarten class.
She's a bad politician. I mean, she's not. She doesn't have her husband's likability. She doesn't have Barack Obama's ability to inspire. She does has a lot going against her. But as you suggest, there isn't a tough Democratic field. There's hardly any Democratic field. There are Republicans who will be able to challenge her, and it will be tough. But we'll see.
We will see. It's more a matter of have we had enough of Democrats, I think, than anything else. It'll be her biggest obstacle to overcome. Daniel Halper, the book Clinton Incorporated, The Audacious Rebuilding of a Political Machine, available now, big bestseller. Thank you for signing mine, and thank you for stopping by.
Absolutely.